So what are the key competencies of the chief procurement officer? What are the competencies that he should be having? So first is the information management and the technology enablement. So focus on innovation. He has to be innovative, not only in terms of the product or what he's procuring, but in terms of the systems, methods, processes that he's using. Ensure seamless integration with business processes. Managing complexity of the business. So one is managing the complexity, which also means reducing the complexity of the business through the use of technology. Task and process management, organizing skill. He is supposed to have exceptional organizing skill. General business management skills. Obviously, if he is going to lead and manage an organization, he needs to have leadership skills. Interpersonal skills. So networking skills, he is supposed to be well networked, aware of what's happening in the market, connected with the top suppliers, top even customers. Developing relationship and engagement, engaging with, you know, the key people in the market, key suppliers or stakeholders. Influencing skill, because he's in his position supposed to or be able to influence the major supplier or vendors. People management, motivating and driving the performance. He has to motivate his entire team. He has to drive the team. Directing the team to achieve the business objective. And as you know, none of the business objectives are easy to get. They always have to be very aspirational in nature, maybe a little stretched. So he has to actually push them to achieve those objectives. So what are the traits of a chief procurement officer? So trading skills and street smartness. He has to be a very good negotiator. He has to have these trading skills. He should be able to offer variables, you know, in a negotiation process, where a supplier needs, you know, something, maybe he's short of capital, what can he get in return? Or, you know, can we do business differently? And he has to be really street smart. High level of logical thinking capability. Attention to details. Thought leadership. He has to really come out with new ideas. Thought leadership, you know, where you think of new ways or new processes of doing business. Ability to share and socialize ideas. Again, you know, you can come out with innovative ideas. The ability to share and influence people and try and implement those ideas. Self-confidence, charismatic personality, ability to look at leverage, often used for negotiation. So we already talked about, you know, leveraging in the negotiations, trading, you know, the levers during the negotiations. Extrovert, appreciation of simplicity and common sense. So analytics in supply chain management. So what are the analytics that we generally have in supply chain management? So one is the spend analytics. Market analysis. So in spend, we looked at, you know, what are the major items, what is the kind of a spend we have across the globe, who are the major users, etc. What are the major vendors, you know, where the spend is going? That means the top 10 strategic vendors to whom we are making the highest payments. Market analysis, which is, you know, regarding the category managers, how the markets are moving, where the major strategic raw materials are moving. Negotiations, how many negotiations we are doing, what are the kind of successes that we have in the negotiation, are we able to, you know, get the outcome from the negotiations that we set out to achieve. Selection of suppliers and sourcing, informed market sourcing, contract management and supplier performance evaluation. So wherever we are entering into a contract, the management of the contract and, you know, how the supplier performance has been, you know, against the contract. your procurement and supply chain risk management, very important point, because there are a lot of risk that an organization runs, and this review also needs to be done often to understand what are the risks you are running to avoid, you know, surprises. So, global procurement manager can perform the following kind of analysis. So, one is the category analysis, where you have the, you know, within your category, what are the kind of changes or I would say developments which are happening in the market. Analysis of the items procured. So, within the category, what are the kind of items that you have procured? Analysis of the payments. Again, we are looking at which are the major vendors where we have been making the payment. Also, if you can consolidate the requirement, can we get you know, better terms or better commercial deal? Analysis of the vendors in terms of their capability to supply, their creditworthiness, sustainability, technical upgradation, contract analysis, you know, what are the problems we have faced in the contract? Are there any changes which need to be done in the contracts? Are we, you know, benefiting from the contract to the extent that we are designing the contracts to benefit us? So now we come to the health check for the global sourcing. Now, health check aspects under the global sourcing, what are we supposed to do? Capturing the voice of the internal customer and the external supplier. Now, voice of internal customer is where you listen to what the customer wants and whether they are getting it or not. Are they really satisfied? And this doesn't have to happen only internally, but also with the supplier. And especially when you're talking of collaboration, you're talking of partnership concept, it's necessary that you listen to the pains of the supplier and you address them. Evaluating the financial and non-financial benefit accruing to the organization. So, as a global sourcing function, are you really benefiting the organization? What is the kind of a benefit which has accrued to the organization? You know, because there will be a lot of unpredictable surprises, events happening. So, the bottom line is to really look at what is the kind of a benefit we have achieved, you know, by setting up a global sourcing system. Ensuring that the procurement function is operationally effective and efficient. So, are you able to, you know, effectively get the material, ensure the material comes on time? You got the right kind of vendors, you are getting the right quality of the material, you're not having any rejections, you're not having any recall. So, you need to constantly look at the operational effectiveness and the efficiency of the function. Ensuring the right data and information is available for procurement decisions. So, in terms of whether it is the current situation or the future situation, if the consumptions are likely to go up, knowing the right information can help you negotiate better. It could be that a particular material which was not very significant till now, maybe in future it may assume importance and it may become strategic in nature. So, having the right kind of a data and knowing your spend on those materials, even the future projections, is necessary for actually performing or doing a good job as far as the global procurement is concerned. Risk management and robust compliance framework. So, we talked about the risk compliance also. We have talked in some of the earlier chapters because they carry a certain risk. You can land with penalties, etc. So, the risk can be both, you know, from loss as well as from non-compliance. So, we come to the health check questionnaire, and here are some of the key questions relating to specific area. So, when we talk of the spend map, how much is the organization's spending? And we have covered this earlier, so I will go a little quickly through this. So, again, we come back to the same question, what is the organization spending? On what activities, service, product is the organization spending it? Is the per unit cost varying significantly? That means, are you able to reduce the cost significantly? And again, we are talking of the total cost of ownership, not just the landed cost. We are also talking of the savings in terms of taxes and incentives, etc. How much is the spend associated with strategic suppliers or the top 10 suppliers? That means, what are you paying to the top 10 strategic vendors or suppliers? How many suppliers does the organization have who supply same or similar product or services? So if you have too many vendors supplying the same or similar kind of a product, is there a scope to rationalize and to reduce the complexity, even to standardize the specifications? Coming to the next criteria, which is the savings. So does the organization evaluate the short-term and long-term savings? That means, are you really looking at, you may actually switch a supplier by investing a lot of efforts with a view that you will have a long-term saving from the supplier. Question is, are you really accruing the saving that you set out to achieve? So is the organization striking a right balance between the savings? Are you taking the right decisions? Are potential savings part of the planning, budgeting, and forecasting cycle? Some of the savings or saving initiatives are actually budgeted or planned. And one has to constantly monitor and see whether you are actually accruing the savings or not. How effective is the procurement activity? So, is your procurement activity effective? Are you complying with all the requirements? Are you following the processes and the system? Are you delivering the right results? How the organization is tracking the realized and unrealized benefit savings in the procurement function? So again, how do you track? How do you measure? This is very important, because if you don't do it correctly, you will be actually computing the wrong benefits, or you may be having a benefit, but if the method is wrong, you will see that there is no benefit. So it has to be holistic, to cover all kinds of benefits, tangible, non-tangible, which needs to be taken into account. Coming to the procurement value chain, focus on the initiatives just on saving cost or saving on the total cost of ownership. So we already covered this, that are we looking at the cost in a holistic manner, or are we just looking at it only in terms of the landed cost? Or are there some hidden costs which are hitting us, other than the landed cost? Segregating between desirable or good to have and what is necessary for the organization. So if you find that your organization is paying for things which are good to have, but they are not necessary for the organization, can we eliminate them? So are we buying things, which are simply desirable, and are we paying for it? So this is another key question that needs to be answered. Approach towards the supplier, whether collaborative or just a vendor. That means, are we having a transactional kind of approach where we just inquire about the price and the quality and the supply, or are we really collaborative? That means we are making investments, maybe taking efforts to train them, develop them into a long-term strategic partnership. Contracts and supplier relationship management. So generating the benefits as promised by the supplier. So when you have entered into a contract with a supplier and you have drawn up the contract with certain benefits which are promised by the supplier, are you tracking it? And I can tell you that in most organizations, once you have made the contract becomes operational, it gets streamlined, then people forget about it. And many times, we do not go back and measure whether the benefits have really accrued or not, or the level to which the benefits have accrued. So this is a very crucial question, that are you measuring it, and what are the benefits generated? Are they as promised or not? Whether the integration of the strategic supplier with the long-term planning, budgeting, and forecasting achieved. If you have the strategic supplier, you need to integrate them with your own systems so that, you know, you can collaborate and it will be a win-win. So they can reduce their cost, you can reduce your cost, and both the organizations actually achieve their goals or objectives. Whether the organization is occupied in addressing the transactional issues or looking at business partnering with the supplier. So we looked at this and we said that, are we transactional in our approach or are we strategic in our approach? Coming to the procurement model. So is the vision, mission and objective of the procurement documented? So what is the vision that you have? What is the mission that you have, you know, and what is the objective of the function as a whole? If this is clearly defined and understood by all the people and everyone is aligned in this direction, it's important. This is a known fact that every organization has a vision, mission statement. But if you go and really ask the people down the line, they don't know what those are, or probably they have heard about it, but they have forgotten about it. And in the day-to-day operations, they are not following your vision and mission. So it's important that people understand it and align to your strategic intent. Does the organization have all necessary team with technical and commercial expertise? If you do not have, you need to actually recruit them, but you need to have competent people who can define the correct technical and commercial requirement, or who can contribute, who can be part of the negotiation, and who can add value, which will actually add to the organization's benefits. Does procurement function command credibility in the organization? How is the procurement function looked? Is it looked at suspiciously, or are they respected in the organization? Are they considered to be the best negotiators in the market? Are they being considered, you know, as the people who are buying at the most competitive rates, the best quality material and from the best sources? How are they looked at? So important factors while pursuing international procurement: familiarize oneself with local social and business cultures. We already said this earlier, that it's necessary that while you do global business, international procurement, it's necessary to align with the culture of the various countries from where you are procuring. Establish clear communication channels with functional departments and management levels. Fairly simple to understand, I will not actually elaborate further on this. Source from within organization's geographic region first if internal prototype and pilot production capabilities do not exist. So, you know, you can source from regions where your organization is already present. Especially nationals, they may be present in countries, you know, where you have sources available, and you will have better control on the sources. Develop a working knowledge of the contracts. Everyone, at least the key procurement people, should be available or aware of the provisions in the contract, so that you are able to derive maximum mileage or maximum benefit from the contracts. Informed about the phases involved in the supplier selection. So the process to be followed, you know, for selection of a supplier is again very important. If you cut short the process, maybe you will land up, you may speed up the process, but you may land up with the wrong kind of a supplier. So it's important that the screening and the selection of the supplier is done very carefully, because you are going to look at the suppliers as a strategic partner. So it's important that you invest the extra time. Engaging services of local sourcing agents. So we discussed, you know, that local sourcing agents can add significant value, because they know the markets, they know the suppliers, they know the strengths and weaknesses, and they can actually provide a lot of useful inputs which will help you to select the right vendors. Getting right the quality aspect of the product intended to be purchased. It should be, you know, getting it right the first time. That means whenever you are developing a new supplier or a new vendor, from the word go, you get it right. That means your processes have to be aligned. Your requirements are clearly communicated and understood by the supplier, and the supplier's limitations or supplier's capabilities are known to you comprehensively. Use of offshore sourcing office. So wherever, you know, you have very significant sourcing which is happening, you can have a sourcing office. India is one of the sourcing centers, and a lot of companies have their sourcing office in India, which actually helps affiliates across the world source material from India, especially in terms of chemicals, etc. Deep understanding of the international sourcing. So it's very important to understand the international laws, international taxation, the lead times, the cost which are involved in international sourcing. So international procurement, what are the changing role as a management service? So managing the international transaction for ordering goods and service, the function is also responsible to manage the procurement data. The function here is expected to bring maximum efficiency in the end-to-end transaction flow and reporting. Supporting the vendor contracting and management process, the key activities include identification of the vendor, negotiation. Most of the activities can be tactical and transaction focused. Again, here, although we say it can be tactical and transaction focused, we are generally, when we talk of international procurement, we are looking for strategic things. Because if it is transactional in nature, unless if it happens to be project related, where it is a one-time kind of a procurement of certain capital equipment, mostly you would not like to go for international procurement unless the material is strategic in nature. Value-based procurement to ensure addition of significant savings and improvement of the profitability of the organization. So you are suddenly looking at significant savings when you go for international procurement. The reason, as we discussed, you know, because your lead times will be high, you need to invest in inventories, you know, in view of the higher lead times. So unless you have significant savings and substantial benefit in terms of quality, specifications, etc., it does not really justify going for international procurement. So what are some of the new roles which procurement function is taking on? You know, assume increased responsibility for buying non-traditional services like consultancy, legal, audit, training and development. So traditionally, you know, this consultancy, etc., used to be actually, you can say, purchased or procured by the finance department, or if it's legal, it used to be by the legal department or the HR. Training development also the HR used to fix. Today, increasingly, the procurement function is actively involved in the negotiation and, you know, buying of this kind of services as part of the indirect spend. Challenging the requirement assessment of the user function to better plan and negotiate with the supplier service providers. Also add value to the business through innovation. So we saw in the maturity that, you know, the passive organization, they simply take the requirement from the user department and they try to find a service provider. Here, in the new role, they are also actually challenging the requirement given by the user department, and they may either offer better service, better value, or they may actually offer a solution which is more necessary and not necessarily simply desirable. Contribution to the strategy of buying goods and services with high transaction value. So, you know, the strategic products that you have, which have very high transactional value, which are actually huge, big contributors to your spend. So the procurement function also contributes to the strategy, buying strategy, which is formulated. Leading and supporting the outsourcing projects. Increasingly, a lot of organizations are outsourcing the products, etc. And even here, the procurement function actually takes the lead in negotiations and the commercial discussions that you have for outsourcing projects. So managing expectations, international procurement, traditional versus the new strategic role. So the traditional approach was, you know, price discovery, that you try and get a lower price source or a lower cost source. But today we are looking at it in terms of value addition. That means what is the plus that we can get? What is the differentiator that we can get apart from getting, you know, a price which is highly competitive? Providing market-based solutions. That means the procurement is able to offer, you know, advanced technologies, etc., to the business so that they can upgrade the product, they can incorporate the innovation into the product or the offering that they have. Managing explicit versus implicit contracts. So explicit contract is where everything is very explicitly defined. Implicit contracts are, you know, where a lot of things are implied, and the scope of such a contract is much larger, which means that the benefit to the organization are also greater. Conducting strategic discussions, setting up appropriate measurements for cost savings. And let's look at what are those appropriate measures, or what are the measurements for the cost savings. So difference between two supplier quotes. So, you know, you may be already buying from one supplier and you try and develop another supplier who is making similar kind of a offer. So what is the kind of a difference or the savings that you are able to derive? This is one measurement of the cost saving. Comparison of procurement value or price against the external benchmark. Looking inwards is okay, but it's important to sometimes look at the external benchmark, and this is very easily available by way of import data, etc. If you find that a material is being imported by you and also imported by other competition in the market, then from the import data you can find out what is the price at which you are procuring the material and at what price the competition are doing it. And this, you know, can tell you what is the kind of a saving you are incurring if you are procuring at a lower cost. Internal savings and reductions, that is the reductions in jobs. An internal reduction is not simply in terms of the number of jobs that you have reduced or the manpower that you have reduced. It is also in terms of the efficiencies that you have improved. So in production, etc., let us say whether superior quality of the product, your efficiencies have improved, that actually also adds substantially to the savings. In my organization, we used to import certain raw materials where we found that importing it from a particular source gave us a better yield. That means if the yield from one source was giving us 70% of finished product, from another source it gave us 75% output. So this is a kind of a saving that you achieve. There is a certain wastage which happens in the process, and which is the next point, that reduction in wastage across the key processes. Because when you are actually in an engineering process, you process the material, there can be certain yield loss at various stages. And finally, what is important is, what is the kind of a final yield that you are able to achieve? Reduction in working capital requirement. So we have also emphasized that already with the international or global sourcing, your lead times are high, which means that you have to carry higher inventories to take care of any variation in demand. So we also need to look at how we can reduce the working capital requirement, so that we are not offsetting the benefit of the lower cost or better quality by means of higher working capital. So steps by Africa to lead like China. So what are the steps that Africa has taken? Encourage internal consumption and intra-trade. So internal consumption within Africa, intra-trade within the continent, so that, you know, the countries, they trade, and this is a model which is followed by even Europe through the European Union. Push forward the free trade agreement. So when you are trading within the continent or within the trading zone, then it's a free trade. There are no import duties or there are no custom duties which are applicable, which means that the movement of material is much faster. There is no added cost on account of the added duties. Create a single African currency, something on the lines of euro. Improve infrastructure in terms of ports, the road conditions, etc. Invest in education, because yes, they have a very large population which is not trained, not skilled, not educated. So in that direction, invest in emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and Internet of Things, etc. So this is how Africa is trying to, you know, aspiring to go the way China has gone and try to prosper or try to, you know, bring the development to the level of some of the developed countries. Thank you.